My name is Uriel Edwards. As Sean said, and I'm born to be a Goonian. My sister's supposed to be here today. Somewhere. Oh, there she is. That's my sister that raised me, so thank you for your support. And I get to finally say what a wonderful wife I have. You may be wondering what happened to me. I thought I was half my age and decided to go play basketball. End of story. But amen, God is good. All right, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you and I thank you for this opportunity to go through your word. God, please be with me and help your word to speak to each heart here today. Father God, thank you again for this time. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this morning we're going to be continuing the By Faith series. And the title of the message is going to be By Faith, Abraham Offered Isaac. Please turn with me in your Bible to Hebrews 11, starting in verse 17. All right. Okay, starting in verse 17, the Bible reads, "By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned,' Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead." You know, in this section of scripture references an episode where God came to Abraham to test him. And what a test this was. He requested him to sacrifice his son. Now, earlier in our By Faith series, we learned a few things. One, that God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. Two, that Sarah, his wife, was barren and advanced in age. And three, that they waited 25 years for God's promise to be fulfilled regarding them having a child. So that sort of sets the stage in terms of what Abraham had already gone through prior to being tested by God. Now, think about it. In and of itself, being involved in a life and death decision for a loved one is hard enough. Personally, I had to went through the same thing with my mom, where we had to make a decision about life and death. We had to eventually take her off life support. So I can only imagine being in a situation where a healthy, longed-for child, you know, having to make a decision, a life and death decision regarding someone you dearly love and had longed for. So this is decision, this is the stuff that Abraham had to go through. This is what Abraham had to be tested with. Now turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2. The Bible reads, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, 'Abraham, here I am,' he replied. Then God said, 'Take your son, the only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you.'" Now, here we see God giving Abraham the instructions on the requirements for the sacrifice. Now, we know that a sacrifice, typically, if you're sacrificing something, it's something of value. You know, you're not going to be sacrificing a widget that you haven't used for 30 years or something like that. If you're asked to sacrifice something, and if it's really a sacrifice, it's usually something that you treasure, that you put a lot of, has a lot of value to you. You know, like a family heirloom, or, you know, you can think of a lot of different things that would be a sacrifice. And many times in Abraham's life, prior to this, we see God testing his faith. And point one is that God does test our faith. Now, in Abraham's case, you look at some of the situations he had to go through. First, God requested him to move to a place that he'd never been before. I mean, he was living the good life, and God says, you know what? I'm going to send you someplace. Can you tell me a little bit about it? You'll find out when you get there. You know, so Abraham had to step out on faith and go to a place that he'd never been before. Another test for Abraham, and this was something that was very important in that culture, was the ability to have an heir, the ability of his wife to give birth. And his wife was barren. And the other test that Abraham had was God requesting Isaac's sacrifice. You know, as believers, how do we see our faith being tested today? You know, sometimes the test that we have is a test to really put actions to our intent. Sometimes the test is the test of our obedience. You know, the Bible in Matthew 28, and Sean mentioned it earlier, talks about us making disciples. You know, and that theoretically is a good idea, but Jesus didn't intend it as theory, he intended it as an actual command. It's something that was supposed to be part of who we are on a day-to-day basis, in whatever stage in life we find ourselves, in whatever situation we find ourselves. And the test of our obedience is, do we actually take that literally? Do we take that seriously? Is that something that we do in terms of making disciples? You know, now, another test can be allowing ourselves to be discipled, mentored, or influenced. Now, I know for myself, typically, if I come up with a great idea, the last thing I want to do is tell someone if I know they're going to talk me out of it.
Right.
Or if they're going to influence me to do something that I don't intend to do.
Right.
You know? So, a lot of times, a test is even allowing myself to say, hey, look, this is the idea that I have. I think it's the greatest idea in the world. What do you think of it?
Right.
Or, this is the path in life that I'd like to take. I think it's the greatest idea. What do you think of it? And in a way, we're tested in that way to allow ourselves to be discipled, mentored, or influenced. Another area that we can be tested is in the area of practicing forgiveness. You know, we live in a mean world. Bad things happen. Intentionally and unintentionally. And God has set the example by sending his son to die for us. And, you know, on the cross, Jesus said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, right? And in the same way, we're following in the footsteps of Jesus, and we're also called to practice forgiveness. Now, there's a chance that you're not going to just get a chance to practice forgiveness once. You're probably going to have to practice it every day, multiple times a day. So again, that's how some, for us, we're also being tested. Another way that we can be tested is in sacrificing financially in the midst of financial and job insecurity. You know, it's amazing how when these things are pulled off from us, how we lose our identity. Because a lot of times we identify ourselves by the things that we do. You know, I'm an IT guy or something like that, or I work as a doctor or a professional or what have you. And if someone were to ask you, you go to a party, they say, what do you do? Well, I do this, I do that, I do the other. And a lot of times when those things are taken away from us, either through a layoff or downsizing or being fired or something like that, it really tests us. It tests our faith. It really tests where our security comes from. Does this security come from the things that we have, the things that we can do, what we call ourselves, how we identify, or does our security come from God? I think another area where we find ourselves being tested is being sexually pure in a very promiscuous world. You know, you go to work and everyone's having the water cooler talk, and they're talking about all their conquests and all the different things that they're doing or haven't done, or lying about the things they've done, or posting it on Facebook or what have you. You know, it's very strange to actually say, no, I love and I'm committed to my wife and I'm not really down with any of that other stuff. And you know, everyone looks at you cross-eyed like, what's wrong with you? Why do you think like that? You're messing this up for everyone. You know? But that's another area that we can be tested in. I think another area we can also be tested in is in seeking God's kingdom and his will when it's definitely not practical. Now, we live in what's supposed to be a quote-unquote Christian nation. So in a way, a lot of things are very, and don't really cause us any problems. I mean, no one, aside from maybe an employment situation, will tell you, hey, no, you can't go to church, or you can't pray to God, or you can't do any of these things. But the fact of the matter is, when seeking God's kingdom is not practical, that also tests our faith.
Right.
You know, when you can work that overtime and overtime and double time and every other time,
yeah.
It's very, very appealing, because a lot of times our security again is tied up in a lot of the things that we do and what we have. The material possessions are very tangible things. Seeking God is very intangible. I mean, we're talking about the hope of heaven. And a lot of times you look at that and it's like, well, you know, how can I measure that? I can't measure the hope of heaven. I can't measure the gifts of the Spirit. I can't measure growing in my character. I can measure what's in my bank account. You know, I can measure, you know, how much overtime I put in. I can measure, you know, all the different things that I've accomplished. I can measure them. I can put them down on pen and paper. But a lot of the things that God calls us to pursue aren't tangible. You know, so in that way, a lot of times we're tested in seeking God's kingdom first.
Right.
Now, for those of us who are studying the Bible or considering becoming a Christian, how are we tested? You know, a lot of times we're being tested in terms of actually making the decision and stepping out on faith that if we follow God's plan, that we repent and we're baptized, we'll receive the gift of the Spirit, and that we'll actually live a life in accordance with God's will. That's a scary thing for a lot of people. I mean, change is hard. You know, change is scary. And you're talking about something like that, I mean, it's a complete different paradigm. It's a God-centric mindset. And a lot of times we're tested in actually stepping out and actually making that decision. Now, in the funny thing is, in January, I had a long-term contract. In January, I lost a long-term contract that I had with Cablevision, working in IT. It impacted our finances, needless to say. Thank you again for my wife. The test for us was to continue giving sacrificially. The test for me personally was actually believing that I was worth anything, because a lot of times situations like that really test your sense of worth and all of that other stuff. So the test was to continue giving sacrifice, being faithful, you know, being tempted to pull back and get into myself and just focus on taking care of me. But the truth is, God has always provided.
Amen.
God continues to provide for all every need, and I've learned to rely more on God during this time, more so than anything else.
Amen.
You know, and trusting in God to guide my steps, like it says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6.
Amen.
Now, if that wasn't enough, in March, I sustained a knee injury. Now, I've never had surgery, I've never been injured my entire life. So, I've been doing kickboxing for 2 years. I'm loving it. I'm doing great. I'm doing all this stuff. Then I go play a game of basketball, went for a pass, fell down, and I heard, I'm like, what is that? It's like, it's surreal. It's like a rubber band popping. And it turns out that I tore my patella, tendon. And thank God I was able to still be ambulatory, still walk around and that other stuff. But I actually had to get surgery, so I had surgery on the 3rd. It was in and out. And now, you know, it's something that requires rehabilitation. You know, and the temptation is to scale back and just sort of like get into my world and say, you know, I got to take care of me. But the fact that, man, you could ask my wife this. She's always saying, do you need help with anything? I'm like, no. Even though I've been humbled and I have had to say, look, yes, I need help with a lot more things. And she's been really great in that area, as well as my son and my daughter sometimes as well. You guys know my daughter. But the test has been to really, like, just step back and say, look, you know, That's it. But I know that God has really helped me to get convictions about the power of prayer, even more the need for outreach, the need to grow in my spiritual walk with God, to take it a little deeper. So, I mean, in a sense, I don't see this being a loss at all. It's a loss in the sense that this is not something that you hope for. You don't hope to get the torn patella tendon. There's a lot of like fill in the blank stuff that, you know, I can do without. But the fact of the matter is that God, again, continues to provide. He's provided us with a great family. He's provided us with a great healthcare system, a great family of believers. So this has been a great time of growth, even though it is a difficult time as well. So our application for us is, let's realize God's intent is for us to continuously grow in our faith. God will continue to test us for His benefit and also for our benefit and for His glory. Amen. Let's turn with me in your Bible to, we're going to read from Genesis chapter 22, verses 3 down to 5. And that takes me to point 2, that faith requires intent plus action. Faith requires intent plus action.
Come on, Uriel.
So in starting in verse 3, it says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Now, think about that. Okay, so Abraham responded not only with the intent, but with a complete plan. He got to his whiteboard. He started planning out step one, step two, step three. Okay, he didn't hem or haw. He didn't waste time. He actually came up with a plan of how am I going to put God's plan into practice. Now, imagine being a fly on a wall in that situation. Imagine that you're having to chop wood piece by piece, realizing what the end result is going to be. It wasn't like he was just making a barbecue. Abraham intended to sacrifice his only son. And then he had to travel 3 days. Imagine the conversation. What sort of conversation am I going to have with my son if I know that my intention is to sacrifice him? What kind of things could be going through my mind? You know? And the thing about it is, I mean, you can only imagine, but it gives you a great appreciation for how much faith Abraham had. And how are we at responding to test this faith? Because the tests are always going to be there. It can be small, large. Now, you may not experience anything on the level of what Abraham experienced. But then again, you may. I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for any of us in terms of where God will test us in our faith or where God plans to bring us eventually. Now, Shauna talked about the example of, missions that we have going on. So as a church, you know, we've pledged to give $365 a member for our special contribution. Now, the thing about it is, first of all, I want to say thank you to all of us for our offering, for our continued sacrifice. It's not something that necessarily gets broadcasted on the news, but the thing about it is this is for between you and God, right?
Right.
So God knows your heart. God knows your intent. And that's really what should be our motivation.
That's right.
Now, in terms of the special contribution, you're not going to find it in the Bible, right? I mean, you don't see missions contribution. Go give missions contribution on June 11th. But we can cite examples of offerings being collected for various needs, like 2 Corinthians 8, for example. Also, we know that the early church gave to one another as they had need, as it talks about in Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, right? But Matthew 28, 18 to 20 does say, okay, and I'm paraphrasing, go make disciples of all nations and teach them to obey. So the objective is there, go make disciples of all nations. Now, if any of you are in the project management, you know that that's the objective, but you got to come up with a plan to achieve the objective, right? And usually the plan and the details requires some sort of funding or effort, and that can be in terms of time, material, etc. So the objective is go make disciples. And the plan and the details are left up to us. And the plan usually involves people. So there's money involved and all of that other stuff. To travel, rental space, paid staff, business licenses, phone calls, benevolence. You know, you fill in, there's just so many different things. The thing is, Jesus has called us to make disciples of all nations.
Right.
And he's left us the details.
Right.
And our church and our sister congregations have taken up the responsibility to send out missionaries to churches in various third world regions in support of that call.
Right.
The missions contribution is but one vehicle we use to achieve that objective. Now, to some people, $365 is not a big deal. You know, maybe that's what you spend on a day out in the city or a night out. If you're able to do that, God bless you. But, you know, for some people, that's not a big deal. You know, for other people, you know, getting $20 together is like climbing Mount Everest. You know, it's hard. You know, and the thing about it is, wherever you are, understand that God knows your heart. You know, God provides for you and gives you the ability to achieve the objective. You know, in some of the things that can come about when we're faced with tests and we're called to action. I know some of the emotions that I have, you know, when I'm in a situation where I'm tested. Some of the things I have to deal with are doubt. Yeah. So I ask myself the question, you know, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on.
The other thing that can, the other emotion or the other set of actions that I can have are rationalization. Maybe God really meant ...
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I know God is asking this, but really maybe he meant this.
Right.
The other thing I can do is just nothing. Inactivity. I find that if you want to accomplish nothing, just do nothing.
Right.
So I could say, well, God asked me to do this, but I don't have to do it today.
Yeah.
I don't even have to do it tomorrow. Maybe 5 years can pass and you're still saying, well, I know God intended for me to do it.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that you have that inactivity. And then the other thing could be rebellion. You could say, look, I'm just through with God. It's asking too much. The goal for us, ultimately, is to imitate Abraham's faith. God's expectation is that we heed his command with the proper intent and faithful action. You know, it's funny because being in the church for over 28 years, I don't know where the years have gone. Baptized March 19, 1989. Wow. It was cold water, too. That's how I remember it. But I've been given special contribution for about that long.
Wow.
You know, and if you do the math on it, you can really mess your head up. In the sense of you can think about, well, I can do a down payment on a property, or I can buy this, or I can buy that. But, you know, when you think about, you know, the end, you know, it's amazing that God has done in the life of others through our continued support. You know, if you had the opportunity to travel anywhere, you'll see that really in action. You know, I mean, I haven't traveled internationally, but just throughout the continental United States, when you go to our sister congregations and see people that are brothers and sisters in the faith, then you realize that it's more than just what you're doing here. It extends and it impacts other people's lives. And that's a wonderful thing. I mean, you may be only impact one person's life, but in this world, that, you know, that may be all that God has called you to do. You know, I'm not saying to stop, but if that's all that God's called you to do is to impact one person's life, then, you know, that's it. But if God has given you more opportunity to have more of an impact, it's up to us to follow God's plan.
Right.
So I want to encourage you to acknowledge the test of faith that you have in your life. And make steps to act on God's word. And point three is that faith trusts God's provisions. So in verse 6, it says, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father."
"Yes, my son."
Abraham replied, "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram, caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." I'm going to stop there. So Abraham was so decisive because he was used to God keeping his promises. Abraham had prior experience with this. You know, this wasn't his first rodeo. In verse 5 and 8, he affirmed God's ability to provide. Verse 5 said, he said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I go over to, I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will return back to you." Abraham was confident he was going to come back. He was confident. Verse 8 says, Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. And the great thing is, this is why Abraham is called the father of faith. Because he reasoned. And in Hebrews 11 verse 19, it says that Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today. You know, there's a lot of things going on. You know, we're tested in a lot of different ways. You know, whether it be financially, whether it be health issues, whether it be relationship issues. There's so many things that test our faith on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Now, Abraham's example is set to encourage us.
Right.
I don't know what tests you're going to be going through, you know, in the next couple of days. For campus students, maybe it's college, maybe it's the peer pressure, maybe it's just a time in your life where you're really searching for some sort of meaning in life. You know, what to apply your life to, you know, what's your life calling. You know, for those of us who are, you know, middle-aged or wherever, or at a certain point in life, it's trying to find meaning of the decisions that you've made in life already. For those of us who are reaching our older years, maybe it's health issues, maybe they're regrets, maybe they're things that you need to be reconciled. There's just so many tests. The thing is that God is with us. And God has given us an example. And brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to imitate the father of faith, Abraham. In our daily walk, let's live with the faith that God is able to keep his promises. Even when we don't fully understand life's trials and tests, his intent is for you to receive the full measure of his promises in this life and eternally. So in closing, I just want to encourage us to let's allow God to test our faith. Get accustomed to it. It's gonna just keep happening. God's gonna test us. He loves us, so he's gonna keep testing us. You know? Don't look at it as something that's to be, you know, to run away from. Embrace it and really look at it as a way that God is molding and shaping your character. You know, let's not only intend but actually act on faith. You know, let's not just look at it as something that's theoretical, but look at it as something that we put into practice. And on top of it all, let's trust God's ability to keep his promises. To God be the glory. Amen.